I'm Rick Sanchez. As you probably know, I've been doing news for some 30 years now in two languages and all over the world. Interviewed four U.S. presidents, worked at most of the major news networks, and I believe, after all of that, that news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. So let's start with this. You hear a lot these days, right? Especially from rich countries like ours, about the problems of climate change and global warming. But there seems to be almost an inherent hypocrisy contained within some of these speeches. First, there's the obvious irony, right? If not a downright hypocrisy in this case, the type that hits us in the face like a blast of air from a takeoff of a nearby 747. And here's what I mean. Have you ever watched how world leaders and their elitist media and corporate peers arrive at summits where they then lecture poorer countries on global warming? They do this right after they've disembarked from their multi-million dollar private jet. A private jet that, by the way, pollutes the environment at a minimum of about 14 times than what a commercial jet would pollute. The more they try to burn, more fuels. And why is this happening all of a sudden? Well, it's because of one word, sanctions. Sanctions. Specifically, the sanctions on Russia. Remember when President Biden curtailed imports of oil and coal and natural gas from Russia? Well, here's what's happened since then, right? Two things that have happened. First, the cost of energy shot up. Second, that forced rich countries to look for more fuel to burn because they now would make more money on it because the price has gone up. So they're burning more fuel. I'm going to give you some examples. And the UK, for example. The UK, which has always publicly denounced fossil fuels, has recently ended up breaking its promise to close its coal plants and is now burning even more coal. And then there's the European Union. Since attacking Russia economically, right, it has increased by 11-fold its imports from of coal that it's getting from places like Australia and Indonesia and South Africa. But perhaps the most ironic example of climate hypocrisy comes from Germany, where they are closing and retiring one of their largest wind farms. Do you know what they're going to be putting there in place of that wind farm? Are you ready for this? They're replacing it with a coal mine. That's right. They're extending their coal project and saying nein to their wind farm. By the way, it's not just the rich. It's not just the rich nations that consume and burn the most energy. It's also rich people. And here comes the proof. According to the University of Massachusetts Amherst and a study they did, those who have enough resources to be in the top 10% of incomes in the United States are responsible for 40% of the greenhouse gas emissions. Imagine that. Huh? 10% of us produce 40% of the harmful gases. And who pays the highest price for all of this? Because this is really where the rubber meets the road, right? Well, it's definitely not the rich nations like ours. It is, in fact, the poorest.
In Tuvalu, our islands are sacred to us. They contain the mana of our people. They were the home of our ancestors. They are the home of our people today. And we want them to remain the home of our people into the future.
You see that guy right there? That's the foreign minister of Tuvalu. That's a chain of islands in the Pacific. It's a country. He's issuing a warning to the entire world. And look where he's giving this speech from. To prove his point, he made his historic comments to the world with half of his body underwater. Isn't that amazing? Look at him. with half of his body underwater, just like half of his country is now underwater. In fact, it's estimated that within possibly 50 years, Tuvalu will disappear completely. And it's for that reason that they're now already in talks to try and move every single person who lives there to some other place. Which country they're going to end up in, who knows? We're talking about families, by the way, that have been living there through their ancestors in these Pacific islands for more than 5,000 years, according to archaeologists. You know, maybe the irony of this situation is what makes their plight seemingly so unfair, right? These islanders, who are the least to blame for the climate change, are the ones who will face the biggest loss, their country. And maybe that's why these recent comments from a former presidential candidate seem, to me anyway, and probably to you, just so cruel. John Kerry is President Biden's special envoy on climate change. Recently, he was asked during a congressional hearing if we should help those poor countries and maybe offer some reparations. Kerry was adamant in saying, no, no reparations for countries affected by climate disasters, at least not from the United States, said Kerry. In fact, Kerry went further when he told that congressional hearing the U.S. would not pay reparations, quote, under any circumstances.
Are you planning to commit America to climate reparations? That is to say, we have to pay some other country because they had a flood or they had a hurricane or a typhoon
no,
or a wildfire?
Under no circumstances.
And joining us now to talk about this hot topic is Marco Fernandez. He is a researcher at Tricontinental Institute for Social Research. He also does a lot of writing himself as an alternative or independent journalist. And it's a pleasure to have him join us. Marco, thanks so much for being with us. And let's just start with the question that a lot of people ask themselves when it comes to this whole climate issue. And that is there a sense of hypocrisy, you know? When it comes to the climate topic, and how bad is it?
Well, there is, Rick. There's a lot of hypocrisy. I would say, first of all, there's a concept that President Lula from Brazil, my president, has been saying in international gatherings in the last months, which is the green neocolonialism. Green neocolonialism. It's a very interesting concept. Because what it means, basically, how much in many situations in the last years, Western countries has been using the agenda of environment issues, which is a true agenda, is a legitimate agenda, is a real risk for the humankind. But they've been using this to block the attempts of development in the global South countries, in the developing countries. And this, there's a lot of examples. I mean, Brazil has been suffering of this lately. I don't know if you saw, but recently there was a case.
I'm going to stop you for just a minute. In the case of Brazil, deforestation, for example, is a real issue. And if my leader, who happens to also be a hypocrite, by the way, or any other leader in the world who happens to be a hypocrite, says to Brazil, you guys have to be able to control this. I mean, is that neocolonialism or is that just common sense?
No, the thing is that, of course, I mean, what's happening now in Brazil in the last years, let's take Brazil as a good example. We had 6 years of a right-wing, extreme right-wing government. Absolutely devastating for the environment. Amazon forest was burning almost every single day. We had many issues with that. And of course, we had a president that actually was incentivating people to burn the forest. I mean the agribusiness, the big farmers, etc., or mining companies. Okay, this is a problem. But this has to be solved in Brazil. It can be solved by some kind of sanctions from Washington or from Brussels. And what's happening now, exactly right now, we have a new president, a president that is absolutely committed to stop burning the forest, to actually restore the Amazon forest. But now, for instance, there is a negotiation between Mercosul, the countries of South America, some of the countries, with the European Union. They are threatening to put sanctions on South America if they don't comply with their standards. What Lula is saying is like, this is absolutely nonsense. I mean, we have to negotiate. We go to a table, we negotiate. We can't just have unilateral sanctions from European countries because of a problem that we are already solving. Because, I mean, this current government is solving the issue and is committed to do so.
Well, and here's what's interesting, because you mentioned, for example, that Lula was a right-winger, and you're right. And Lula had business deals all over the place with all these people who were doing the deforestation, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. But let me tell you something else. If we're going to expect the non-right-wing people, supposedly, for example, in the United States, we hear that Joe Biden is a socialist and a communist. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our socialist communist president, right? Here's something. President Biden, right, has apparently approved, and let me make sure I get this right, because I'm going off of my notes that I was preparing before this interview. He has, according to several sources, approved more oil and gas permits on public lands here in the United States than any other president before him, and certainly more than the Trump administration. So apparently Trump is a right winger and Biden is a left winger, or a socialist, or a communist, as they call him, which is ridiculous. But here, when we look at the facts, he's burning more America. He's doing more damage to the climate than President Trump, who was supposed to be a right winger. So what the hell? What do we make of this, Marco?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I'm going back to President Lula, because I mean he's been raising these issues in all the international gatherings, and I think it's a very good position. One of the problems is that we don't have an international stage to discuss these issues. Because, I mean, if you go to United Nations or the COP, the COPs that this is, you know, like this environmental gatherings every year, which is related to United Nations.
Yeah. The summits that they have from time
every
to time.
Every year is the same.
The ones where the big rich countries with their big rich elitist friends fly in on private jets.
Exactly. Well reminded, Rick. But the problem is that there's some agreements in these meetings, in these summits every year, but nobody follows it. And for instance, one example, in 2009, in a COP, I don't know, maybe COP 12 or something like that, the Western countries, the rich countries, they pledged to give $100 billion a year to fight climate change, to give to the developing countries, the global south countries, from 2020 on. We are in 2023. Guess how much the Western countries gave to fight climate change to the global south? Zero. So that's the kind of thing that's happening. I mean, the Western countries come with their agenda, come with their agreements, they pledge things, but they never comply. So what is being saying, of course, I mean, you're right. We cannot depend of like X or A or B presidents to fight this issue. We should have an international, United Nations should be doing that. But guess what? Western countries, they don't follow United Nations. They are beyond United Nations. So that's the problem we have. And if we go to the issues of development in the global south countries, I mean, very recently there was a case in Uganda. Uganda is trying to build a pipeline for oil to go to Tanzania and then to export to other countries. So there was a necessity of funding of like overall $10 billion. But at the end of the day, some of the environmental NGOs from Europe, from the United States, start to put pressure on the banks, on U.S. banks, European banks, not to give money to the project. And guess who is going out and giving money to Uganda? Guess which country? China. Because China is saying, I'm sorry, this is a problem. Of course, we need a transition of energy. Fossil fuels can no longer be there for in the next 30 or 40 years. But the developing countries, they cannot have the same rules that apply to the Western countries because they need to develop.
Yeah.
I mean, Western countries, they destroyed the planet for 200 years. They have been destroying the planet. And now they want us to pay the check? Come on.
John Kerry recently said, and I talked about this a little while ago as I was presenting you, that he promised a committee in U.S. Congress that he will give no compensation, no kind of monies to any of the countries that are suffering from the climate change problems in the world. What do you think of him coming out and definitively making that statement that we're not here to be writing checks to these countries that are going through this problem? That's a hell of a thing to say, isn't it?
It is, Rick. Can I give you some numbers? This is a very famous data about, because I mean there's an organization, Our World is Data. They have been doing a very comprehensive research about the carbon emissions historically since 1751, since the Industrial Revolution. Do you know who is the biggest polluter ever in the history? United States.
I was going to guess, only because they've been at it longer, that it would be the British.
No, actually not. United States had emitted 25% of the carbon in the history in the last 200-something years. And Europe, the 28 countries of European Union, 22%. And if you go to China, because China is now the big villain of the story, China has emitted 12.7%. And of course, if you go to emissions per capita, I mean, you can't compare. China is 1.4 billion people. United States is how much? 300-something million. So that's the thing. Western countries, if you get North America and Europe together, it's 62% of the carbon emissions in history. So who is supposed to be paying this check now? Not Uganda. Not Brazil, not South Africa.
Marco Fernandez is a researcher with the Tricontinental Institute for Social Research, and he's going to join us when we come back. By the way, I'd like to continue this conversation with you. All we got to do is go on to Twitter. You can find me there. My handle there is Rick Sanchez TV. That's Rick Sanchez TV, whether it's X or Twitter. You can find me there, and I'll see you there. When we come back, though, here's what I want to talk about. Is it true that China is the country that pollutes the environment the most, as we often hear? The answer, when we come back. Don't go away. You know, as we come back, I was thinking it's quite common these days to hear politicians in the United States shouting at China for emitting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than any nation in the world. We hear this all the time. I mean, they literally scream it. But it got me to thinking, is it fair to compare a country like China to ours? A country like China that, by the way, has four times our population? So look what I found when I looked up the per capita carbon dioxide emissions list of countries. At the very top, the United States, with double, by the way, what China emits. Marco Fernandez is a researcher with the Tricontinental Institute for Social Research, and he's good enough to join us once again to have this conversation. So something recently happened which has seemed to put on hyperspeed the burning of combustibles all over the world, and it's pretty simple. It was when we historic sanctions against Russia. And those sanctions caused a couple of things. They caused the price of energy to go up. And as soon as the price of energy went up, then a lot of the countries in Europe and the United States went in there and started buying and burning more. So those sanctions have actually increased. It's been ridiculous to think about this, but those sanctions have actually increased and worsened the climate situation in the world. What do you make of that?
Well, this is the price we're paying for the stupidity of this war. Since the beginning, as we know, I mean, it's not only thousands of people are dying. Economy of Europe is collapsing. Germany is downhill. And of course, every war makes, first of all, the war is already a big emitter of carbon. And of course, with these crazy sanctions, as we know, I mean, from UK and Germany going back to coal mines. It's crazy. We're going back to 19th century. This is what we've been doing.
Yeah, no, here's what they did. Yeah, here's to your point, here's what they did in Germany. They have this place where they have these wind farms, very famous part where they've been developing this wind farm project for many, many years now, and they just recently decided they're going to get rid of the wind farm and replace that very wind farm with more coal mines. So they're taking out the wind farm and putting in the coal mines. Same situation is going on with the EU, where they're burning more and buying more fuel. Same thing is happening to a certain extent, but maybe not as quite as clear with the Brits. So you ask yourself with these types of examples, what the hell is going on here? What a clear example of hypocrisy is that than replacing wind
exactly,
farms with coal mines,
the 19th century.
Marco.
And one more thing, just to put a little bit of spicy on your point, let's go to the United States military. I mean, do you know what is the world's single largest institutional consumer of petroleum in the planet? It's called the Department of Defense.
The U.S. military.
United States yeah. military is more polluter than Morocco, than Peru, than Sweden, than Hungary, than Finland. I mean, Sweden, I'm talking about a very highly industrialized country. The Department of Defense puts more carbon in the air, in the planet, than Sweden, the whole Sweden together. So this is what's happening. I mean, there's a documentary. I think it's about to be launched. I've seen the trailer from Abby Martin, which is famous journalist. She's been doing a documentary on that, how much the U.S. military is screwing up with the planet climate. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing. I mean, and you know what? All the militaries in the whole planet, they are, what is it called? I mean, they don't have to comply with all these Paris agreements, Kyoto agreements. The military, they have a free pass. They can do whatever they want. And many of the militaries of Western countries as well, they don't even publish how much carbon they are emitting. So this is the problem we have.
Yeah, because of course, yeah, that's classified information. Let me ask you a question about this sanctions thing that I was thinking about as I was listening to you. Do you think that, which came first, right? The chicken or the egg? Did the Western countries and the United States apply sanctions on Russia knowing that they would benefit economically from those sanctions? Or did they apply the sanctions because of the war in Ukraine? And then after they saw the result of the price of gas and everything going up, they said, aha, here's an opportunity. Let's just jump on that opportunity. So was it planned? Or was it coincidence?
That's a good point, Rick. I would say one thing that for sure United States knew is that with this move in Ukraine, they would put Europe on their knees. Europe became a vassal of the United States. I mean, Germany is paying the price. I mean, Germany, how much Germany now is spending with energy? Like, I think like 40-50% more because they don't have Russian gas anymore. And gas from who they are buying? Mostly from the United States. Some from India, exactly. Which is also crazy. So Russia sells oil to India, crude oil. India refines and sells to Germany and France and UK. This is crazy.
Yeah, and by the way, and when you think about that, and those of you who maybe don't understand the geopolitics of this, when you think about this, think of just in your head, look at a map of the world and look how far the United States is from Germany. Look at how far it would be to draw a line from Russia to India and then back to either Paris or Berlin or any of those countries in Europe. And now imagine that you could just take a Nord Stream pipeline, whether you're for or against it, and I'm not pitching Nord Stream here, I'm a journalist, but Just look at the math, right? And then just draw a line from the coast or from the border of Russia into Germany, going through the Black Sea or wherever. And you go, wait a minute, this is crazy. Why are they going halfway around the world twice when they could simply just go tick, from there to there? Hello?
Exactly. That's the insanity that we're living.
And it's simply because they want to be able to get more clients for their product, and their product is oil. And if it means sanctions, if it means war, God, I hate to think that that's what they do, but is it possible that they knew? That's why I'm going back to this conversation. What came first, the chicken or the egg, right? What came first, the need or the sanctions? And in this case, I'm wondering if someone in the back room somewhere didn't sit down with whoever, probably not President Biden, but somebody else, and say, look, here's what's going to happen if we put these sanctions on Russia. We're going to end up making more money. So what the hell? Let's do it. I mean, is it possible?
Well, these guys do math all the time, Rick, much more than we do.
Marco, you're fantastic. Thanks so much for having this conversation with me. It makes for real deep thinking. And it's a problem that we really need, not as Americans, not as Chinese, not as Brazilians, not as Cubans. Absolutely. We all need to get together as the people of this planet to figure it
Thank
out.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. My friend. That's it's a big pleasure to be here always.
So before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. Simple, really. I want to try and de-silo the world. You see, we've got to stop living in these little boxes. Truths don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.